that Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, very familiar. We're going to read 1 through 14. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." That is our key verse today. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. And then there's a second reading in Philippians. It's also a very well-known reading, Philippians chapter 4. It's just three verses that we kind of cut out a bit of the first part, and we just get to the last part, and we abuse this. It's on cards, and we got it wrong as people, generally. You'll see what I mean in just a minute. It's Paul writing to the church in Philippians. Paul is in jail. Starting at verse 10. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." And here's that verse. "I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." And that's often quoted as, "I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength." What is it? What does Paul write? "I can do all this." What is this? What is this that Paul is writing about? Let's look at that today. Because there's a certain cost to peace. Think about it. "'Tis the season of peace." Right? Have you been out on Bell Boulevard driving? Anything close to peace? How about your neighbors? "Oh, I still have to buy this. I still have to get that." Well, maybe even you, but I'm never gonna point fingers here, right? How peaceful do you feel when it's getting busier and busier, and you got baking to do, and then you got this to do and that to do and those people to see, and you can't forget the postman, and there's more anxiety in this season of peace than peace sometimes, for some people. And then I think of you as a congregation. What have you just experienced? Overwhelmingly, you voted for a coming together of two congregations. And I am sure, and I don't doubt for a moment, that many of you spent many times in prayer praying about that specific unification or joining, right? And you felt led individually and collectively as a congregation. This is God's will. And then all of a sudden the brakes were put on. How do you feel? Peaceful? No. In the meetings I had with your leadership, and even with just some of you at the door, some of the things you've suggested, is there is no sense of peace. There's a sense of turmoil right now. We don't know. Right? We don't know. It's unsettling. In my heart, I feel, but in reality, it's not matching, right? We don't know. Peace on earth. It'd be real easy as a pastor just to, you know, blessings, congregation, peace to you all, and leave it at that. What is peace? What is peace? Peace is having my Christmas list done. I can tell you what peace is for me. Peace began, Patty will even attest to this, at about 9:40 Friday evening when I turned in my last paper for this past semester. I study at Tyndale University Seminary. Turning in that last paper, 9:40, it was about that time. Peace. Really? Well, yeah. Yeah, probably. What is peace to you? Peace in the Old Testament has they used the word shalom, which we are very familiar with, right? Shalom. Peace. Peace be to you. Shalom. And what did they mean when they used the word shalom? Shalom is such a small word that is just packed full of meaning. Shalom, if I would say shalom to you, that would mean I would be blessing you, first of all, and I would wish upon you wholeness, health. What were we praying about this morning? We all have struggles. And I say shalom to you, I'm saying peace. But what is peace? Peace is wholeness. Peace is health. Peace is not just quiet. Peace is reconciliation. The use in the Old Testament of the word peace means to reconcile with each other and with God. That is the state of peace. So when I wish you shalom, when I would say peace be to you, sister, I would be hoping and praying and wishing for you to experience God in right relationship. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful greeting? The New Testament, the word became Greek, Irene or something like that. We hardly ever use it. The meaning is the same. The Greek took the same meaning, and yet they even expanded it. They emphasized the aspect of at peace as restoring the relationship between God and man. That's the New Testament meaning of peace. The state where you and I have been returned to our original communion with God. And we can't remember what that looked like because we've never experienced it. But originally, you and I were created for this wonderful, intimate relationship where God would just show up in your garden in the evening and chat with you. How's it going? How's your day? Been a rough day today? How's it going? Can you imagine that? God just showing up at your house, sitting around your table in your dining room and saying, "Let's do coffee. Here I am, surprise." And having that being normal. Can you imagine that? That being normal, that kind of communion. And the term peace is supposed to represent, that's the goal. When you want peace, that is the goal. When you say it is peaceful, that means I am feeling, I'm sensing a bit of that total communion, what that might be like. We can only imagine. But how do we get it? If you notice, the sermon title is The Cost of Peace. There's a huge cost to find peace. Galatians chapter 5 has peace. It says this, verse 22. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You want peace? It's a fruit. It's something that comes out of relationship with the Holy Spirit, God, third person of the Trinity, right? You want the gift. That means you have to know the giver. See, peace is not anything you and I can ever buy, purchase, grasp, acquire. You cannot go down to TSC or the hardware store, my favorite store, Lowe's, or building. You can't go down to the grocery store. There is nothing that is labeled peace that you will find anywhere. There is no way. There is nothing you can do on your own to get peace. It is unattainable. Sorry, amen. But there is hope. You see, if peace is what we were designed for, if peace is what we are promised, if peace is what God offers, He also shows us the way to experience it, and that is to experience Him. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. That means it is something that comes out of our relationship with God. You and I only experience fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the blessing of peace, when we surrender ourselves to God. You want to experience peace? Be full of the Holy Spirit. And that is costly. That is costly. I cannot hide that. A relationship with God costs you everything. Everything. Your car, your home, your relationships, your job, your family, your money. None of it is yours anymore. Everything, your hopes, your dreams, your passions, your skills, your abilities, your talents. Everything you are that you have, tangible and intangible, is to be surrendered to God. And He fills. I'm not promising you get everything back when you surrender to God, because hopefully you don't get everything back. Because everything in this world has been tainted by our sin, right? So what does He give you back? We have been so blessed. Look, we have a beautiful church building. We have an organ, blessed with an organist. We're blessed with sound, electricity, lights, a sound person, blessed with each other, blessed with our homes. You came here by car. Some of you were driven by somebody, so you were blessed that way. We are continually blessed. God gives us so much. But first, we must surrender all to Him. Everything. And allow Him to bless us. It's like our story this morning about Peter Penguin. When we walk around like we are owed something. Yes, I want to point out that Peter Penguin, as a penguin, is an amazing swimmer, and Arctic frigid waters would not at all bother a penguin. And you might be gifted, and you might have strengths, and you might have interests that you say, I have a right. And no, you don't. None of us have a right. We have a privilege. God has given us these gifts, these strengths, whatever they are, whether they're tangible or intangible. And He has privileged us to use them for others, not a right for ourselves. Whatever we try to grab back gives us unrest, the opposite of peace. Whatever you and I want to control brings us discontent. Whatever you and I want to hold as our own and refuse to surrender comes between us and God. Cost of peace is total and full surrender. But what is peace? What do we gain? A right communion with a triune God who loves us so much that He gave His own Son so that we could be in that relationship. You want peace? What do you need to surrender? I'll let you work out those details this week, because we all need to do it differently, don't we?